Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 2016 alumna recently relocated to the Lone Star State, but has found ways to stay engaged with her alma mater. Ladies and gentlemen, and alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Sarah Brassington to the show. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very stoked to be on my very first podcast. And of course, it's for Misericordia nonetheless, which I think is awesome.
I feel like anytime a Misericordia alumni has their first experience, there's somehow a tie-in back to their alma mater. So I'm so excited that it's a podcast version of it. But Sarah, we're just going to jump right into today's questions. What have you been up to since you have graduated from Misericordia?
Oh gosh, I feel it's more or less like what haven't I been up to? So, you know, I graduated in the class of 2016 and literally 3 months later, I moved down to the great city of Philadelphia for my graduate program at Temple University, where I, thanks to Professor May Carr in the accounting department, I pursued a master's in accounting. I got my CPA. And then after a year, moved to Manhattan, and I started with one of the big four public accounting firms called PricewaterhouseCoopers, also known as PwC, where I worked as an auditor on many of their hedge fund companies. So I was kind of bouncing back and forth between New Jersey, New York, Greenwich, had clients in all three states. Really, really amazing experience. I left after a year and a half, almost 2 years, when I got early promotion to senior associate. And I started at this amazing, incredible $5 billion hedge fund in Manhattan. But, you know, life got the best of me and I was looking for a bit of a change. New York is amazing. Manhattan is one heck of a city. But the hustle and bustle sometimes coming from, you know, Dallas, Pennsylvania, and even coming from Philly, I was like, I need to take a haul. So I did that. And I am now currently residing in the great and massive state of Texas in Austin, where I also am working for another $5 billion hedge fund, where I just really get to apply my undergrad degree, not just my accounting degree from Misericordia, but also the many other things that I learned while at Mis, and I'm also applying my CPA and my grad education. So it's been a really amazing experience to literally move 1,700 miles away from everything and everyone that I know.
We will certainly get into the long distance aspect of your big move to Tejas. But I have to ask Sarah, because I feel like it's a common misconception when we talk about people who go for accounting. And I think we've had this discussion beforehand. And I'm going to say it to you out loud. But what I would like you to do is enlighten us with some of the things that you actually do. But if me, as a person who doesn't understand what exactly you do, I can come up to you and say, well, you could do my taxes, right? So kind of tell me about like what exactly you do and break that misconception right now.
I don't know if you've ever seen the meme. Okay, so I'm a big Simpsons fan. A lot of my classmates do know that about me. I don't know if you've ever seen the meme of Homer Simpson and he's just slowly pulling back the shrub or the hedge or the bush, whatever y'all call it, near his house. When someone comes out to me, they're like, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I work in accounting. Oh, you can do my taxes. That is literally like, I have like a 5 second, like in my head, and I'm like slowly moving back into the bush. And I'm like, no, just go away. Not all accountants do taxes. And it's just like one of those things where it's such a stereotype where I'm trying to break the mold of stereotypes over here. So you can do taxes. There's nothing wrong with that. More power to you if that's how your accounting brain is wired. This girl is not wired that way. So I worked when I was in public accounting, I did audit. And in my graduate program, our chair always told us, when somebody asks you what it is you do as an auditor, you need to be able to explain it to a child, whether it's an adult or the CEO who works in HR. Explain it to them as if they're a child, because what we do is not as simple as many think. But the way that I tell people is, I go to the Cookie Monster and I ask him, how many cookies do you have in your cookie jar? If he tells me he has 10 cookies, that Cookie Monster better have 10 cookies in his cookie jar.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Wow.
I hate, some people get annoyed at that explanation because it's like, well, you're sort of dumbing down what we do. But I'm not, because the people who are asking, they don't know. And if they're intrigued by me telling them, oh, you keep the Cookie Monster honest, can you tell me more? Okay, well, then we're going to get into the whole box of cookies and I'm going to tell you word for word, like, what it is we actually do. But in essence, we go in and we make sure that these companies are doing what they are saying they're going to do. So if you have an investor coming in, he's going to want to know those financial statements back to forth, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. And that's where we come in. We give the layperson a reasonable mind when they go in to make an investment.
That perfect. I'm so glad that you enlightened us with the true explanation. And anytime I hear the word auditor, I'm going to think of the Cookie Monster next time. So
that's amazing.
But now, Sarah, you did all these moves. You moved from Philly, originally from New Jersey. You moved from, Dallas, and then you moved down to Philly, and then you moved to Manhattan, and now you moved to Texas. And really, I mean, not to say it in any shape or form, but really wasn't the most ideal situation moving down to Texas because of the pandemic. So I'm sure you have some experiences or you have some stories that you'd like to share as far as, you know, this pandemic and how you have adjusted, A, being away from home, but B, adjusting to a city or town that you really can't, acclimate yourself to because of COVID-19.
Yeah, it's been one heck of an experience. I will tell you this, you know, when somebody asks me, what's the bad of Manhattan? Well, if you don't have thick skin, you will leave Manhattan with thick skin because it'll chew you up and spit you back out and it makes you a stronger and better person. Well, I thought I could handle everything coming from New York. I officially, and not to be big of myself, I feel like I can handle anything. You know, I knew when I was pursuing opportunities down here, I was really taking a leap of faith. I remember going to the president of the alumni board, Adam, and he's in Texas. And I said to him, I go, how have you done this? He goes, well, you moved to Boston when you were little with your mom and your dad. I said, yeah, but that was different. I was with my parents and we had our home and we were together and there was three of us. And we lived there for 16 years until we moved down to Jersey. And
I forgot about the Boston part.
I'm going to let it slide this time. You know, but even then, because he even said, he goes, you've done a lot of moves. I said, right. I go, but every time I've done them, I've been with family. People thought I was crazy going from Dallas to Philly and going to Temple because it's not in the best area, but it's a really great school. My dad's whole family's down there. So in the back of my head, I knew, well, when I'm sick of it and I want to go somewhere, I can go to them. Well, I knew that wasn't going to be the case here. But I'm a social person. I figured, you know what? Like, I'm going to be in the office. I'll be able to keep myself busy. And it's going to be a really great fresh start. So I moved down here literally the first week of March. Things were getting rocky back home. My mom was starting to hear that. Mom, if you're listening to this, I love you. She's getting a little freaked out. I was getting text messages, phone calls, go buy toilet paper, go stock up on toilet paper and paper towels. I'm like, Mom, we're good down here. Fast forward a week to March 16th, stock market crashes. It's the first day of my new job. And I'm like, you know what? When I moved down here, my dad said to me, if it doesn't work out, you can always come home. I don't know if that's a Miz thing because we all went to Miz, if it's a true statement to anybody in general, but it does, not to get off topic, but it does go back into Miz. It's no matter what happens in your life, you have somewhere safe to go back to. No matter, like, if you were at the lowest of your low, you have a home to go back to. Well, I did it and it's not been easy, you know. I was in the office for one day I'm then told, okay, well, you're not going to work from home for the unforeseeable future. I'm living in a 650 square foot apartment in a city where I don't know anybody. The closest person I know in Texas, who's now moved, was in Dallas, which is 3 hours away. You know, I think this is more of me telling people, in order for yourself to grow, you've got to be put out of your comfort zone. Change, no matter what, is inevitable. I didn't think this was going to happen down here, but I sort of went back to my Misericordia values and what a lot of my professors instilled in me there. There's nothing that you can't accomplish. And our Misericordia education gives us those skills to literally accomplish anything. It's just as long as you have that right mindset. Now, trust me, there were days where I was like, you know what? I'm done. I miss my family. I don't want to have to Zoom in with people from Miz. I want to be present with all of them. But again, I had to remind myself, I'm not the only one going through this. You know, yes, I'm in a city by myself. I haven't really experienced Austin in its fullest, but my friends and my family on the East Coast, they're going through the same thing. So the woe is me, that's got to stop. And that's what I did. And, you know, I'm here 7 months. Trust me, I miss Dallas. I miss New Jersey. I miss Boston. I miss New York every day. I don't know if I miss those places or if it's that I miss the people and the things that are there.
I think that's always an open-ended question that you don't always have to answer. And as long as you miss it, you miss it. But I think you brought a really good point as far as, you know, being so far away from home. But I think one of the things, Sarah, that we can talk about today is obviously we have our virtual homecoming that's coming up at the release of this podcast. It's going to be Saturday, October 3rd. So it's not even, it's weeks away. But in most cases, you would be enjoying tailgating with friends. But now that this is going completely virtual for homecoming, at least for this year, it's kind of a blessing in disguise for you being so far away from home.
It is, yeah. You know, that was, I remember Adam telling me, because you got to pick two things at Miz that you are going to stick to, and you're going to buy your flight, and you're going to come home for it. And that's what makes living so far away easier. Like, you pick milestones. Okay, well, my first milestone was moving my brother into Miz. Okay, well, that didn't happen.
No.
That's homecoming. I love homecoming. I was hoping to bring, you know, try and beat Kale and Serge to get the Cornhole Championship this year, because I think I got gypped last year, but we can talk about that later.
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, you know, I'm heartbroken, you know, because I think I always looked at homecoming as a great way to kind of bridge those that are on campus and those that have since left. Everybody's coming back. You know, it's not about the sports. It's not about what's going on. It's literally everybody in the parking lot coming together. We had a great cook-off plan and we were so excited for that. It's things like that, but you know, we've got to take it as it is and just kind of roll with it. And I am just as excited. Obviously, like I said, I'm disappointed, but it's out of our control. But I am so excited to have it virtual and, you know, to continue to just always build on those relationships that we haven't been building on over the past couple of years since I've graduated, because now it's like everybody's in the same boat. You have no excuse to attend an event for homecoming, because for the last 6 months, everybody has figured out Zoom. Everybody has figured out Google Hangouts and the Facebook rooms and all this other nonsense for you to see each other. So if you can do that, you can hop onto some type of event for homecoming, because I know we all are dying to see each other at this point. So is it crummy that we're not going to be on campus? Yeah, kind of. But you know what? That's the amazing thing of technology. So it's making me miss home a little less, because I'm like, well, guess what? I still get to participate and I still get to see everyone because we're all doing it virtually.
I think you really encapsulate the feelings right now of any alum that's going through this right now. Obviously, with, you know, like you said, you're disappointed, but at the same time, you still get to feel that sense of home, even though, you know, you're so far away. And I feel like anybody, whether you're from Dallas, Pennsylvania, or Los Angeles, California, or even Texas. It sounded like I made fun of Texas there for a hot second. I didn't mean that. I think it's just because you're there. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? I just, with you anymore, I just take it and go with it. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I think as far as you, Sarah, you are participating for the first time in our alumni board. So I feel like you also get a sense of connectivity with alumni across, you know, somebody celebrating their 30th or even 40th class reunion to somebody who just recently graduated. So I think that's pretty cool that you just hopped on and decided to take part in participating.
Yeah, I've always come back for homecoming. I've always been involved, even when I didn't want to be involved, because as we all know, my whole family went to Miz. And I knew when I was approached to join the alumni board, I was kind of like, yeah, I guess it'd be like a really good idea. Like, I have a huge, strong passion for Miz. And now that I'm on the board, I'm like, my experience with Miz has just been amplified so much more. Because, yeah, I have connections to alumni. I'm related to, 9 of them? You know, so I have connections to people that my parents went to school with who my uncles went to school with. And it's great. But there's always that missing connection of like the older alumni. Well, through the board, I have been blessed with getting to talk to men and women that graduated in, you know, the class in the 60s and the class in the 70s and even before that. And the alumni board, like, I'm so appreciative of it because it's given me that opportunity, even being so far away, to continue to either develop new relationships or continue to cultivate old relationships with alumni. And the virtual homecoming is literally giving everyone from older people who are down in Florida, or if they're up in Maine, wherever they are, like you said, to actually come together and be able to see each other. I'm telling you, like, I see my grandpa when I call him on FaceTime and his face lights up. Older alumni, they're going to eat this up. And I think that my generation and your generation of grads should really take advantage of that, because I hate to get like all soppy, but there are so many stories, even from my parents about Miz, that my brother and my cousins and I are like, whoa, that's like really cool. Even now when I talk to my brother, who's a current freshman at Miz, him and his roommate are like, wait, you did that at Miz? I'm like, yeah, it was only like 4 years ago, guys. Like, I'm not that old.
We won't talk about that story on the podcast.
Now, all those college stories, they're going to happen off the podcast. So if anybody wants to know about them, feel free to call them up for Mike.
The After Dark podcast.
You know, but again, like, this virtual homecoming, it's a homecoming. So I want everyone to like think about what that means and use that to their advantage this year for it being virtual. Everyone is being given the same opportunity to see the same people, to talk to people. Take it. It's an incredible, this is your time. If you haven't had the time to get back to campus physically, take this opportunity to do that, because let me tell you, Misericordia is continuing to impress me day after day with everything that's going on.
Cool. So we're just going to take that recording and we're just going to push it for next year in case we have to go virtual. But I appreciate you sharing that, Sarah. But I know we talked about your big Misericordia family, very long bloodline of blue and gold. But this is kind of a loaded question for you, my friend. But how has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today?
Oh, gosh. So I probably will get a little sentimental over this one. You know, obviously, like you said, the blood runs deep for me at Miz. I'm the 10th of my family to go there. My brother's, God bless him, he is now the 11th. But it's, you know, it's everything that Miz has taught me from when I was a little kid and I was on campus with my mom and professors like Mrs. Mary Carden and Dr. Kachurik, who has, you know, since passed away. There's always been this sense of community and this sense of a foundation that when you are at your lowest of lows, you've always got Miz. Misericordia is always there. And I think that kind of helped me go through with making this move so much, because when I say misericordia family, people think, well, yeah, your entire family has gone there. You have a misericordia family. So yes, that family in and of itself has helped me tremendously with picking up and doing this move. But when I say misericordia family, it wasn't just my mom and dad and my aunts and uncles and my cousins. It was people like yourself, people like Adam, Leilani, you know, Chuck Edkins, Professor Maycar, people like that who would always tell me, if it doesn't work, just remember what you learned here. When it feels hard, remember what you learned here. And people are probably like, well, what do you mean by that? So what I mean when I say, remember what you were taught at Ms., it's not just about your degree, your accounting classes, your biology classes, your nursing, your PT, your OT, whatever it is you majored in. Think about those core classes that we all complained about that we had to take. Every professor that you have, no matter what their background is, there is this sense of community, this sense of faith, whether you realize it or not, that they teach you grounding. Stay true to who you are. Remember your values. Misericordia has come leaps and bounds from when my dad went there, when he first stepped foot through the arches coming from a completely different company or country, sorry. You know, Misericordia has always stood by who they are. From when the nuns were running the school and it was an all-girls school to where we are today. And I think that right there is one of the most valuable things you can teach. And sometimes it's not even something you teach. It's just something that happens to a young adult when they are a freshman, all the way through their senior year. And then like myself, I went to grad school somewhere else, but I came back to campus every weekend to study for my CPA. And when I would struggle with a few topics, I'd meet up with Professor Maycar. And again, without realizing it, it's like almost like I'm such a Disney fan, but it's like pixie dust, it's like sprinkling pixie dust. The teachers and the faculty at Ms. and staff, they sprinkle misericordia on you. And when you are feeling like you are literally at the lowest of your lows and the highest of your highs, you remember what you were taught at Ms. to stay humble and to stay true to your values at the end of every single day. And that's why everybody's like, well, how have you done what you've done? Oh yeah, my parents are great. Mom and dad, I know you're both gonna listen to this. I love you both. But it's misericordia that has kept me grounded. And trust me, I've fallen off the track many times in the last 4 years since I've graduated. And I've questioned myself. But when I've hit rock bottom again, and I've been at the top, I've come back to Ms. And it's a topic of conversation that has gone on with many friends that I've still stayed in touch with, older, younger. They all come back to Ms. And I think that's why Ms. has gotten me to where I am, and that's how Ms. has played a role in my entire life.
I find it so cool when I hear discussions with some of our alumni during alumni weekend that they share these stories, and they're not as I don't want to say the same, but they're similar amongst, you know, this is what happened when Misericordia was there at their time, or here is what happened when it was at our time. And I think the big common theme that's a little outdated in my opinion, but at the same time, it's still true. Is the word mulier fortis, which is valiant woman in Latin. Having that going through, you have that opportunity to become a true valiant individual. And I think having those charisms behind you, as well as the support that you had, Sarah, really truly rings through the exact misericordia experience that we all try to understand. And it's still a mystery. I think that's the coolest thing. It's still a mystery as to why it's happening to each and every one of us. And I think that's the coolest thing to share.
Yeah, no, it truly, and like, that's why I said, like, I hate to be a child and put it back to pixie dust, but that's it. We don't know why, we don't know how, but we have faith and it happens. Mm-hmm. And everybody's story is different. But like you said, the main component in that similar in all the Storm stories is Misericordia. Mm-hmm. It's Miz. And there really is, like, even when my family's talking, my mom's always like, and my aunts will say, it's Miz. And my cousins are like, right, well, can you explain that to us? And I'm now finding myself saying the same thing. My brother's now at Miz, and he's starting to get it. It's a Miz thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I have to ask, because you did bring up your good brother, your favorite brother. We've seen him on campus, but Sarah, I think I've seen you FaceTime touring campus a little bit, just seeing how campus is. And I just want to ask, as an alum who has now a brother that's going through, you know, how do you think he is doing despite the challenges that is happening in the fall of 2020 with this pandemic?
Let me tell you this. I'm very proud, and not because he's my brother. I mean, yes, because he's my brother, but
I would hope.
I'm just because I could not, I don't think I could go to school in this craziness, but he's doing it. You know, he's got a calculus class that's completely online. I'm an accounting major, but calc is something completely different. I don't think I could ever in a million years try and take calculus online. But these kids are doing, I should say kids.
Students.
He's 18. These young adults, these students, they're doing it. You know, so obviously I think it is absolutely amazing. And I am thrilled to the high heavens that he's at Miz, because I was rooting for it all along. My parents are like, let him make his own decision. Let him make his own. And I'm like, Misericordia. And I'm so excited, you know, but again, I think what I like to always say to people is I was apprehensive at first to go to Miz because my whole family went there. I didn't want to hear, oh, you're Johnny's niece. Oh, you're Richard's daughter. Oh, you're Leanne's daughter. Like, yes, I am Johnny and Linda's niece. I am William and Anne's niece. I am Kirsten and Peter's niece. I am Richard and Leanne's kid. But it's Sarah Ann. It's me. And guess what? I had my own experience. Some things were similar in terms of experiences and classes and professors, but then a lot of it was so different. And I'm seeing that now with my brother too. And he's seeing it. His experience, he's like, yeah, he goes, I'm an accounting major. He goes, I think you're going to always be Maycar's favorite Brassington. And I said, well, that's okay. We all knew that was going to happen.
Wow.
You know, but he's still, he's realizing, oh yeah, I loved your sister. Oh, your sister, she was a talkative one in class. Always wanted to give her, you know, opinion. But Dominic's doing his own thing. And yeah, it is a crummy time for anybody, whether you're in kindergarten all the way through your senior year of college, to really be trying to be in academia during this time. I can't even imagine having children and trying to figure this out. It scares me. It genuinely does. But kids are resilient. And I never understood that until this happened. But my parents always said, well, you'll see it when you have your own kids. No, I'm seeing it now and they're not even my children. Because these kids still came to campus. They are following the rules. They're going to classes. This is their new norm. And I'm proud of all of them, even the ones that I don't even know on campus. I look at them all as my own because it's Miz. But I am beyond impressed with how my brother has tuck and rolled with this new transition. And when I FaceTime him in, yes, I warned you and Lonnie, you'd not be able to get rid of me. He FaceTimes me and we go on a walking tour of campus as if I'm there live in the flesh.
Oh boy.
And he's having his own experience. He's going to Chick-fil-A, which I'm still a little salty about that they didn't have that when I was on campus. But that's fine. That's okay. My parents remind me that the cafeteria was not what it is now when they were there. So yes, we all go through these things, you know, but he's doing his own thing and he's loving it. And he's got the same energy that I had when I was there and that I'm sure my family had when they were there. And you know what? It's awesome. I also think it's really cool that he's going to be the 11th to graduate from there. Like, it's pretty sick if you ask me, but you know.
I think that's really cool as far as your brother going through this experience. And I'm sure we're wishing him the best of luck during his next couple years at Misericordia. But speaking of your years at Misericordia, you do meet a lot of people when it comes to your college experience. Now, Sarah, we always have this time for part of our podcast just to give the individual a chance if they'd like to shout out any classmates or friends that they've kept in touch with or maybe not. So this is your opportunity to see if you have any shout outs or have you been in any touch with any alumni since graduating?
Oh my gosh, have I been in touch with alumni? Yes, one, it's twofold because of my family. Even if I didn't want to be in touch with alumni, I am every single day, but I do have a couple people that I have saved, you know, Barry Fitzgerald, who also graduated in my class, and I now have him on the alumni board with me, which I am super stoked about. You know, I still, gosh, between Barry Fitzgerald and, you know, Justin Mack, like I still talk to a lot of alumni, like Kaylee Reynolds, Brooke Nelson, Giovanna Augustine. There's a lot of people that, whether I talk to them every single day or if it is maybe every 6 months, there's still a lot that I stay in touch with. And it's been amazing because no matter where we're at in life, we still find time for our Miz, you know, our Miz experience. Like one of the girls that I still talk to, Kiana, she just had a beautiful baby girl. And again, like it's just so great to continue these relationships and see where everybody is at in their own story. And, you know, again, like it's humbling because we all have Miz to fall back on. And I think we've all developed really great relationships. And Miz has always taught us to hold on to those. And the ones that I have stayed in touch with, we have held on to it. And I think that's just been incredible.
That's really cool. Sarah, any final thoughts to wrap up this podcast?
Anybody who's listening to this, I expect a text message, a DM, a phone call, an email that you will be present at our virtual homecoming.
I thought it was going to be more so personal, a personal agenda, but no, I like how that wrapped up. So
not that selfish, Michael.
I mean,
sometimes I throw some personal things in there, but no, I think, look it, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, everybody is being given the same opportunity to come back to campus. No, we are not physically on campus, but you all are being given the chance to come back and to support and to hear and to see. So if homecoming was the one time you came back to campus physically, guess what? Don't let this pandemic change that. We are giving you an outlet to be able to still participate in the wild and craziness and the amazing aspect of homecoming. So yeah, anybody who's listening, I'm expecting y'all to be there. If I see you like it on LinkedIn or on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media you put this on, Michael, if I see people like it, I'd be like, oh, I didn't see you attend. What happened? Because I want people to see and get what's going on with Miz right now. We all are on the same playing field. We're all going to be in virtually. I know that, you know, you guys have a lot planned. I know campus has a lot planned for it. It's something that nobody should miss out on.
What a great way. I'll throw in the link just because, misericordia.edu/HOCOVirtual if you want to get your HOCO on. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me as always. Go Cougs!